Grand rising, everybody. Natalie coming to you live, Spirit and Coffee. Got my coffee here. What a day, what a day already. So today is my birthday. Yay, happy birthday. Woo. I'm one of these people who gets very excited about my birthday. It's our born day or whatever, however you want to say it. I get super excited just because it's a celebration of life, right? It's a celebration of being born into this or birthed into this time, space, place, whatever it is. And so I always like to celebrate with everybody because it's like a celebration of life, in my opinion. When you celebrate your birthday, it's a celebration of life. Turning one more year older. Wiser, not older. I'm wiser. I don't know if that's true. Probably not. But hopefully it is. But there's nothing more special to me than to share this time with you guys. And that's why I got on. And that's why I get on. Because it's such an honor. And I was kind of thinking about that the other day, just, you know, sharing time with people and individuals who are wanting to, are seeking to find their divine purpose, their spiritual purpose, their meaning in life, and the beauty behind that. You know, there's so much beauty behind us trying to really understand who we are. And in fact, when we start the journey, it doesn't feel that way. Because we're faced with our shadow, right? We're faced with these demons or the things inside of us that feel icky and sticky and gross and ick, right? We just want to like kind of good morning, Rish, where we want to just sort of throw it out. And we don't really want to deal with it. But as we allow ourselves to move through that transitional space, right? And we start to make beauty from things that are murky or icky or sticky or blech, right? That we start to make this a beautiful thing out of our life, right? Then we can sort of engage in that. And the beauty of it, right, is amazing. Good morning, Ishka. So I like to share my birthday with everybody. In my opinion, it's everybody's birthday when it's my birthday. And so happy birthday to you guys. And there's nothing more magical than sharing it with you. And, you know, as I was saying, you know, sharing this with you, with individuals who really are committed to their spiritual work and the spiritual alchemy and really trying to understand what spiritual alchemy is, because some people... you know, even me, good morning, whoever's on Facebook, say good morning, because I can't see who's on here. Of course, we don't know it all. And that's part of spiritual alchemy. You're never going to know it all. You don't know what putting certain things together is going to do, right? Even in chemistry itself, which is the the physical part of alchemy, which is the bastardized, in my opinion, point of alchemy, you know, that alchemic process that we do within ourselves helps to transmute the energy into love, into kindness, into compassion. Doesn't mean that it starts there though. There's a deep shadow, right? Where it stems. And the shadow then can be transmuted or transformed into something beautiful and blossom out of, like the lotus. So you are the lotus, right? You are the lotus that's unfolding. And that's the beauty, right, of spiritual alchemy and transformation. When you start to do the work and you're committed to the work, it's amazing how things start to unfold. And almost like you, thank you, Tom. Thank you for the birthday wishes. I appreciate that. That you start to unveil and see what's available, and great synchronicities start to happen. And this is the great work. This is what they talk about. We're like, well, I want to be abundant. Well, how do you magnetize abundance? How do I create the sort of the life that I want to see on the outside? And it is alchemy. It is. I mean, it is a way. Okay. Now there's other ways, of course, but alchemy embodies all of it. That's the point. It's really just a process, right? That's utilized. If we saw it that way, alchemy, spiritual alchemy, be a process. And inside, there are many different processes that help us to support our life into what we want to see and manifest. And then synchronicities start to show up where we go, you know, I was just watching this video before this that a friend sent to me. It's pretty cool because I'm starting to connect with the spiritual alchemic community, which never have before. I'm sort of like a loner in this work, right? For myself, I'm a lady who does it on her own. And it's because I sometimes don't trust the individuals, right, that I'm following. I'm like, I don't know where their intention is fully. And I'm not sure that I want to take on the energy that they're spewing out there. So that's another thing, being very careful, mindful of the individuals that you do follow, right? Because you definitely don't want to be led astray. But what's really cool, thank you, Tom, I appreciate it. I'm going to have the most magnificent day, especially because I get to get on here, be with the people that are committed to their spiritual enlightenment. And, you know, I don't even know if that's the right word. I don't like the enlightenments. I think it's overly used, but their spiritual journey, you know, people that are committed to their spiritual understanding and comprehension. Now, remember, it's all encompassing of everything, right? It puts in Christianity, Buddhism, Hinduism, Judaism, Muslim, you know, all the isms can be put into alchemy, because each one of those religions has the process of alchemy within it. So alchemy is just the larger spectrum of what's available. It allows the container to be held and for you to kind of pick. And sometimes what we can do, it's almost, think about it, if you were in a workshop and your workshop had all these different, like, we'll say herbs. Okay, you have herbs, and you know that when you put these two herbs together, that it creates this elixir or this medicine for your stomach. And so you drink that, and it helps to settle your stomach, right? So, but then if you put this herb with a different herb, it does something completely different, because the two put together sort of changes the sauce, right? It changes the dynamics. The inter-exchange between these two chemicals changes the way that the outcome for how, you know, what comes out of it, or the outcome of it. So if you saw a spiritual alchemy as sort of this library of all information that you can pull from, right? So we would look and say, well, Buddhism talks about, you know, the suffering and the Eight Noble Path or whatever it is. And then you say, okay, well, how does that relate to the Christianity and what Jesus said in his teachings? And then you kind of look and you say, oh, well, they're kind of saying the same thing, but there's a little bit of a twist on it. And so we can start to pull from different places to better ourselves, right? It's not about a religious belief. It's not about if you believe Jesus Christ died on the cross and is our savior or not. It doesn't reject that idea. It doesn't say you're wrong for that idea. It says, if that is your way of believing, if that is how you believe life to be, then you can also pull from these teachings that help you become a better human being. And maybe the process that they offer supports you. That doesn't mean that you give up anything. You don't have to give up anything when you're using the process of spiritual alchemy. So it's kind of really awesome, to be honest with you. And it's been a pleasure. And I was kind of thinking this morning, as I'm connecting to some spiritual alchemists, you know, there, I've had a couple of my friends here, where I live that are, you know, in the great work. And these other individuals are individuals who are in, you know, a program, and they are alert, they're scholars. And so it's kind of cool to say, well, how does this interconnect to what I hear, see, you know, what is it that they're contributing to society, humanity? What is their work? What is their great work that they say? And to have that community of individuals to speak with. And hopefully one day I can get them on my podcast. That would be amazing to have these individuals talk about it from their perspective, because each alchemists going to have their own way of approach, right? Their own way of seeing it. Again, everybody has their own unique approach to life. Good morning, PBG. So just super grateful for you guys, is what I'm saying. Grateful that you guys are showing up to figure out your elixir, to figure out what it is that works for you on your spiritual journey that's going to get you closer to your divine purpose, right? To experience the abundance that life has to offer. This is about abundance, right? Now, lack and limitation, of course, lives within the dichotomy of it, right? Because there's always this opposite that we're going to experience, but the abundance itself is flowing through us always. And it's a question of worth. Are you worthy? Do you feel worthy enough to receive the abundance? Because we want abundance, right? And by abundance, I mean the ability to experience life to its fullness, to its wholeness, to be able to shed off all the restrictions and maybe the armor that we carry and throw it off and open up our arms and spread our wings and to feel like we're free and we're flying and that there's nothing that's holding us down or anchoring us in, but we're free to sort of experience life to its fullness and engage it, right? So a pretty cool stuff. And another thing is when we do, so there's a couple of things. And you know, as people start to maybe dive into spiritual alchemy, just do it. Just go and kind of read about what it is. Like, what does it mean to be a spiritual alchemist? What does that even mean? And literally, you'll see that it's just this big body of information, right? It's almost like we're taking all of the information available and we're sort of putting together this potion that works for us. And we become the philosopher's stone, which is kind of cool because the philosopher's stone says, well, it'll give you everlasting life and you become immortal and all this, but we are. And it's in the recognizing that we are, that our spirit, right, goes on forever, right? That we're part of this bigger thing, right? That we're too tiny to understand this big, huge, vast thing that we're a part of. There's no way we could ever comprehend it from this particular construct. The way that we're constructed in the flesh, in the bone, we can't really wrap our brains around it. We're tiny. We're just a tiny little, but we're experiencing and we're able to at least sort of comprehend and wake up to the magnificence of the world, which is so beautiful. So on my born day, being super excited that I'm part of that whole thing. So reading on spiritual alchemy, just kind of look at it and say, well, you know, is this something, how do I utilize my practices? And approach that you can take is depending on what your practices are. So if you're, doesn't matter what religion you are, right? It's how do I create a process within my religion that works for me so that I can start to transmute the energy around me. When you become the philosopher's stone, you can transmute the energy around you by your mere essence. Okay, so if you saw, let's go into some religious stuff. So let's go into like Jesus Christ, right? If we looked at Jesus, Jesus had the ability to transmute energy around him. We would call him a spiritual alchemist, right? People will say, well, he was the son of God. That's fine. But he still had the process of alchemy within him because he could transmute and he can shift the energy around him. Buddha, right? If you're a Buddhist, had the ability to transmute the energy around him without words. His energy was so honed in and so anchored in that he didn't even need to speak words in order to shift the energy in his space. Okay, Muhammad. I mean, we can just go through all of these individuals, right? The prophets, the sages, and that. And that's really what they do is they transmute. Now, here's the deal. They transmute the energy, right? And so they magnetize the abundance, right, around them. Anybody in their space is going to experience that abundance because they themselves are abundant. They bring the very energy of abundance. So like it's like this. Do you have a friend? And you know, this will be for your life, where everywhere you go, it just seems like they're abundant. They have everything. It's just like, whoa, everything magnetizes to them. It seems effortless. It seems easy. And you're just like, how is this happening? It's because internally their process, right? Their alchemic process, or the process they go through, and what I'm talking about is their thoughts, their minds, the way that they engage life might be a little bit different. Watch them, observe them. They may not have the words to articulate it like I do, like saying it's an alchemic process and it's spiritual alchemy and we become the philosopher's stone and we can transmute the energy around us and shift it and mold it and change it. And we can do all these cool things when we're aware of it. Some people don't realize, right? It's like this. Some people don't realize that they can really dampen the energy in a space and make it very somber. Some people don't realize how they make their energy excite everybody, right? It's like the person walks in and all of a sudden it's like the life of the party's here, right? And internally there's something going on and they transmute the energy around them. And then you have the real confident people, right, that show up and don't say anything or do anything, but the energy just changes merely by their existence, by them being in there. There's an internal process that's happening. Ask those people, talk to them, ask them. I recognize that when you walk into a space, things shift for you. Or if you're that person asking yourself, I realize that when I walk into a space, or they call me the life of the party, what is that? What's going on? What's the dialogue? If you recognize what's happening within you, then you can duplicate it over and over and over again. And you start to shift the energy in your space all the time. And words are not necessary. You don't even need words to do it. I mean, that's how powerful we can be as individuals, where we don't have to argue if someone's in our space, right? We don't have to make someone wrong in order for us to set our boundaries. We know our boundaries so well that we exude the energy around us so that any toxicity that we feel might penetrate our space can't get in, because we have this shield of protection around us. And at the same time, we have the ability to transmute the energy around us by the mere essence, right? Our mere essence, or the energy that we hold within us. And so we can go from place to place and people shifting and changing all the time. It's pretty cool when you're aware of it. It's our ability to tap in and connect in, right? And support. Good morning, Antoinette. How are you? Cheers. Cheers. Pretty cool, right? Good morning, Ruba. Good morning, PPG. Oh, I think I said good morning. Good morning, Nanette. I don't know if you're still on here. Good morning, Craze. Or Sar. Kaz. Kaz. I'm just making up names now at this point, so I apologize. Good morning, Lenny. So spiritual alchemy. Such a beautiful process and an amazing thing. And super excited to continue on the path. And you'll see that alchemy shows up in, again, it's in the Bible. it's in Buddhism. It's in Hinduism. It's in all of it. It's there. So I call myself a spiritual alchemist. Are you religious? No, I'm a spiritual alchemist. Okay. I take all that is great and all that is not great, and I change it into something beautiful. I kind of like, it's almost like Frankenstein in a way. Like Frankenstein was this monster, but was he this monster? No, right? But he was put together by this shadow things, and he looked like this monster in the shadow thing, right? But internally, he was kind-hearted. He loved, right? Happy to see your radiance. Thanks, Antoinette. And you should come to Kung Fu if you still want to do it. We would love to have you there. So again, it's taking the shadow and think about the yin and the yang, right? That's a big part, now that I'm talking kung fu of it, is if you look at the yin and the yang, there's that dark part. But here's the deal. If you look at the yin and yang, there's a speck right in the center. And that speck is to remind you that even in the light, there's a speck of dark. And even in the dark, there's light. So they're interconnected. And sometimes what we're trying to do is find the balance between that, right? The yin and the yang find the balance, and then they just keep flowing back and forth. They're not taken over by too much of one or the other. And so they just kind of rotate like this. And they just kind of, they ebb and flow together. And that's what you do with life, right? If you learn how to use this process, it's the ebb and the flow. Now, here's the thing. There has to be some doing behind it. You can't just talk about it. I say this all the time. There's a practice that comes with it, right? And we were talking about this last night in my class because I'm taking a happiness class, which is kind of awesome, right? It's like, what is happiness to you? What does it mean scientifically in the brain? What is your happiness module? Like, how, what do you live by? That kind of thing. And it's kind of cool because at the end of it, we'll have this process that I can share with individuals, a module that I can share. But looking at happiness, right? And we talked about, the fact that you can't have the extremities, and this is a Buddhist thought, that if you have the extremity, we go to one side too much, right? That your body just has to go here. So it's looking at surrendering, but having drive to move forward. So it's kind of weird. It's almost hard to grasp. It's like the no thing and everything. When I say I'm nothing and everything, I can understand that as an embodiment. Some people say it and they're like, yeah, I get it, but can you get it internally? So it's understanding to be able to embody it. So there's a surrender that happens. We surrender, but we also don't want to surrender where we don't do anything. We have to have some action behind it. So there's some energy that's put behind it. Okay, so we put the energy behind it, but then we also let go if it's not working and we adjust and we become flexible, right? And then we sort of do this dance where we're pushing, but then we're letting go and we're pushing and we're letting go, and we're pushing and we're letting go. And it becomes this cosmic dance. Happy birthday. Would love to come to Kung Fu. I got a bit delayed. Oh, yeah. Yes. Prayers to your dad, prayers to you, and your family, and anybody else who's out there having some difficult times. I know it's been crazy, roller coaster ride these last couple of years for a lot of individuals, including myself. So prayers, love, and light to everybody. Stop there. I know this is kind of an all over the place podcast, but it's my birthday, so I could do whatever I want today. Not true. But it's the ebb and the flow, right? And so we sort of looking at how do we balance between the two, where we're actually putting action behind our words, but then we're not being totally attached to how it looks. Kind of hard to do. But this is the mastery, right? Because we get so attached. So here's an example. The government will spend trillions of dollars just focused on one way of doing things. They just can't give it up. They're like, well, we already have so much money, we might as well put more. When really what needs to happen is a pivot and a shift. And sometimes people don't want to admit they're wrong, right? They don't want to admit they're wrong. So they're going to continue down the path of it doesn't work. It's not that they're wrong, it's not working. It's not working. It's not working for you. It's not serving your higher purpose. It's not serving those around you. Good morning, Tony. And so, but we continue to push the mark. We continue and continue and continue. You know what I mean? And it's like, why are we doing this to ourselves? Why? That's the big question. Why do we continue to go down the path that we know is not working? That's where surrender comes in and the let go. Sometimes people have to go really far down that journey and get slapped in the face completely before they're like, okay, that ain't working. I really need to switch gears here. Some people, it happens maybe three, four times, and they're like, oh. So everybody's bottom is different. That was, and I can't even remember who said, I think it was one of my professors said everybody's bottom's different. So someone will, let's say we're here and someone's rock bottom, they hit here and they're like, no, change. But then some people's rock bottom's here and they have to go way down here before they change direction. So the concept itself is saying, how do we conceptualize what we want to do in our life? So we think about it, right? Like, okay, I'm going to take a vacation, but then we have to put action behind it. And maybe things aren't working out. We're like, oh, it's not working out. So maybe what? We change the date, or maybe we change the location and we become flexible, but we're still putting energy times the traveling, right? I want to travel, but we get fixated on it has to be this way. That's where we get screwed up. Because when we fixate on it, it's like, if we surrender and let it go, a better way might show up. But we think that's the best way. But how do we know what we don't know? What we don't know? We don't know. We don't know if that's the best way. How do we know? We only know from the scope of our own mind what the best way might be. But there might be some other way we didn't even know. And then we don't let go, and we let go, and all of a sudden it arises and we're like, whoa, that was cool. Things will flow super easy too. It's amazing how things will start to pop up and synchronize, right, for you. When you allow that, when you understand the process of force, the yin and the yang is like this. So it's like, if I put force here, I can push back and then we can be fighting and no one's going anywhere, right? It's stagnant. It doesn't move. But if I put force here and it goes like that, and then I push back and then I teeter between the two. So it's a play on force, right? It's like this. And so it's moving like this. Like, I'm pushing with this hand, but I'm pushing back with that hand. And I'm not, this hand's not pushing back. It's surrendering to. And when we do our life that way, it's amazing what shows up. That's where synchronicity happens, where people say, oh my God, everything just aligned. Yeah, well, you let it align. That's why. You surrendered and let it happen. You weren't trying to force it, right? Notice your greatest synchronicities happen when there's not applied force. Notice that. Notice that it tends to happen when you're in the most relaxed space, but you have been working towards something and you've declared it, you've written it down, and you're ready to go into action. And all of a sudden, everything starts to show up. And you're like, synchronicity. But you weren't attached. Like, maybe you didn't have the details. Like, it has to look this way, that way, this way. You just wrote down sort of the big idea. And then things start to show up. But when you start to get so detailed and you're focused, and it has to be this way, like it has to be at this location at this time, and that's it. And if it's not, then I'm not doing it. But when you let go, right, and you're like, okay, I know that this is what I want. I want that location. But if not that location, what location? And then maybe something else opens up. It's like, well, we don't have that location. You're like, okay. And you let it go. And you say, what location? Support me. Find a location. And then boom, something else shows up. And you're like, oh my God, this location's better than the other one. I didn't even know it because I didn't even know this existed. We get so tied up, right, in how we want it to be. But it's the flow. It doesn't mean you just sit there and expect everything to fall from the sky either, because that's not how it works either. So we're looking at like this flow, the ebb and the flow, right? We're just moving around and we're ebbing and we're flowing. And when we get stuck, we have to ask ourselves. That's the question we ask ourselves. What, am I stuck because I'm not surrendering because I have to control this? Why do I have to control this? Do I have control? And the answer is probably no. There are certain things we can't control. And we don't have control over. We didn't have control over the pandemic. It just happened, right? We didn't have control on various other things. So you just sort of go with the flow, right? So it's the yin and the yang, the yielding and the pushing, the yielding and the pushing. And what that does in Buddhism is they call that the middle way, where we have this path where we're just right in the center, but we're not always in the center. And this again is in Tai Chi, the thoughts of Tai Chi, which I love, where you're not always on center. Like, the point isn't to just be a straight line. But it's to waver between so closely that your ideas are so close together, and that the way that you're maneuvering your life, you're just teetering on either side. You're not like this, like a pendulum. That's where, so people get really high. Notice this, right? Okay. Think about the people you love. They're on an extreme high. And they're so high and so extremely happy, they crash. And now they're extremely depressed, right? They have all sorts of names for this in clinical, but really what it is that they're seeking that extreme, but then the extreme coming down is even more extreme. So what we say is, don't have your extremes be so extreme. Find the middle. Find that path of like the yin and the yang, where you're just kind of teetering. So if you drew a line, right? If we drew a line, we would say we're going to spiral we're just going to spiral. But we're not just going a straight line. We're moving back and forth because the energy needs to flow. You need to flow the energy back and forth. It needs to be kind of rocking like this. That's Tai Chi, right? In Tai Chi, you're flowing. Everything's flowing. But there's also, you can push something, right? So it's not just I'm flowing and there's nothing there to push. If I'm flowing with somebody and they're there to push, I push them, but then they yield. And then so there's this synergy between the two that happens. That's our life. And it's a great analogy for our life. And how do we create the things that we want to? So sometimes we're so low that we feel like we need to go to this extreme high. So we're like, oh, you know what? I'm going to go and I'm going to have this really brilliant time. And I'm just going to go all crazy and I'm going to be happy. And then we get back and we're like, now we're depressed and we feel low. And now we feel like we have to go experience this big extreme wave. Okay. What I'm saying is find the middle. You don't need to be extremely high or extremely low. You can be right in the center, spiraling. You have to figure that out for yourself, of course, right? What is your extreme? What is it that you can handle? So it could be like, the excitement is this much, and then when I come down, it's this much, and so I'm teetering between these two rather than having to go way over here and way over here. We experience that in our practices. So I've had a couple of crash landings before. I've experienced a couple of crash landings where I'm like extremely excited, and then boom, I just fall on my face. And I'm like, okay, get back up, figure that out again. We want to be like surfers riding a wave, right? Like we're riding this wave and we're just like, we hit the wave. But if you go like too high, you're going to crash down, right? And the higher the wave goes, the bigger the crash. And it feels like death. I mean, think about it. Sometimes it feels like death, right? We're so, so excited. And then all of a sudden we're so depressed or so sad or so hurt or so, you know, and to the point where we feel like death, to the point where people will literally kill themselves. Like that's happened, right? That the depression goes so deep and they're seeking that pleasure to bring it up. So they feel like they need to go so high to get it, but they don't. If they just understood that it's just a pivot, a tiny little pivot, tiny, 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 tiny. And we're just etching along, moving slowly like this, like that, instead of like that. So understanding that, okay? And it's really awesome. For me, you know, I do these small little things. I tend to become very like a hermit where I need to get out more, right? And so then I go out and I have these big experiences, and then I'm craving these big experiences, right? But it's like looking at how do I do both, where I say, okay, I'm going to go maybe once or twice a week. And then, you know, the rest of the time, I'm going to enjoy time with myself and looking at the practices that I have that are going to help me to maintain that sort of ebb and flow, that really tiny ebb and flow. Okay. Good morning, Susan. Good morning, you. So there you go. The yin and yang, the ability to be an alchemist. Go look up spiritual alchemy. I mean, you'll be pretty, I think, impressed with what it provides and offers. It just gives us an opportunity to open up our minds and expand a little bit more, and to even have compassion for others, right? Because sometimes we're self-righteous. We want to be right about our way of thinking. And it gives us that opportunity to look and say, oh, well, I can see the commonalities. And if I do see the differences, it's okay, because alchemy helps us to go through the process of that. Like, what is it going to take for me to love you regardless? How do I shift the energy so that I'm loving you regardless? Pretty cool stuff. Pretty cool stuff. And it takes shadow work. So that's yay. Which is part of the thing I'm doing is shadow work, and part of the archetypes. And I'm excited to talk about this coming up soon when I feel ready, but I'll give you a little insight. One of the archetypal figures showing up in my world is La Llorona. And I think I kind of talked about it before, where La Llorona is an archetypal figure known by a lot of people. And she's like basically talking to me, right? She's coming to me. Her energy has actually come inside me, where I'm like crying and crying and crying. I can't stop crying. Everything is cry, cry, cry. I've become La Llorona, which is, they call you, oh, Llorona, La Llorona, your little crybaby. But La Llorona is an archetypal figure in Spain, in Mexico, and it really links in the cultural trauma that was experienced where I live. And that gets into something deeper. So alchemy itself has the ability to heal the lineage, right? Our ancestral lineage and trauma. And that we can then look to that and say, well, how is this helping us to heal? What is it healing? And what is the message? And so there's a message by this beautiful character, La Llorona, who was seen as, I'm in La Llorona phase for sure for several months now. See, because she's talking to us, because La Llorona is talking to us, especially those here that understand the story of La Llorona. And so part of what I'm going to be doing, I retold the story, rewrote the story for my own healing, right? And part of that is my storytelling and my journey of healing, something that I think I'll share on my website eventually, and pay tribute to these women who were demonized. The women that were made wrong are put into this monster-like way, and there's a deeper healing around it, right, for mothers, for people who were exposed to the physical trauma and rape and all this other stuff. So it's a deep, 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 deep topic. And so I am excited to be able to have a really good talk about La Llorona. And then you guys looking at yourself and your shadow work, if you choose to do so. But make sure that if you're doing shadow work, that you have a therapist or you have someone to help you through the process. Don't want to do that alone. And I definitely don't want a bunch of people running out there doing shadow work without support. You need support to do it. That's it. Bottom line, I need support. You need support. Everybody needs support if they're going to go to the shadow side and work with this shadow energy. So shadow energy is not evil energy. It's not demonic. It's not that. It is facing your own demons, but it's the parts of us that we are afraid to face, basically. And when you're facing those demons inside you, or you're facing that shadow inside you, it'd be very scary. It could be very detrimental if you don't know what you're doing, and also if you don't have support. So I would never say not to do that. So I'm just going to always say that, okay? Have you seen that young girl sing La Llorona? Yes, I've been here. I've been playing that song over and over and over again, actually. There's many different people sing it. And I like many different versions. And I'm asking a friend to remake it on guitar for me. And then I want to sing to it and have my friend dance to it. If that all shows up, it would be really cool to do a ceremony and a tribute to La Llorona. But it's Ay de mi Llorona, 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 del azul celeste. Ay de mi llorona, llorona, llorona del sur celeste. So, eventually I'll get it down because my voice is raspy today. I have a raspy voice sometimes. Yes, I do want to pay tribute to that. So, and there's a bigger meaning that I think I will go over eventually and talk about on the podcast and pay tribute to it, and maybe have a friend come on and speak about it as well. And then women to get on and share their stories, because there's a lot of healing behind it, to be honest with you, and a lot of subjects that can be brought up around this particular energy for the healing of our sacred sisterhood, our women and mothers. There you go. Have a great day. I'm just excited. It's my birthday. I'm gonna go celebrate. I love celebrating my birthday. I just do. Oh, and by the way, this is kind of just another thing, which is kind of weird, but I'm gonna say it. But I was born on the same day as Sigmund Freud. Weird, huh? And Sigmund Freud was into psychology, and it's kind of weird because I don't think he got it right 100%. And I think he was probably a little bit more self-righteous, maybe. I don't know. I mean, that's a big thing that I'm saying. People might get mad at me, but he was kind of an interesting character. And him and Carl Jung sort of saw life through different lenses, and they split, and they didn't necessarily, but I think Jung had a better idea. So, I always laugh and say, maybe I'm the incarnation of Freud to come back and tell Jung, you were right. Just kidding. You were not right, but you were closer to what maybe the psyche looks like, or the unconscious mind, or the map of the soul looks like, than he was. But anyway, I think it's kind of funny. Freud was a pioneer, but wrong about so many things. He was, and that's okay. I accept that. I just laugh because we're born on the same day, but yet we, I feel compelled to this work, the way that he probably felt. And I don't know if it's a birthday thing, but you never know, right? Kind of interesting to me. But there you have it. Have a great, awesome, beautiful day. And please celebrate. You say it's your birthday, okay? Even though it's my birthday, it's your birthday. I want to share it with everybody. So today's your birthday too. So celebrate today like it's your birthday, right? We are all wrong about so many things. Still valuable, amen. That's true, Antonia. I agree with you. Yes, me, myself too. Anyway, so I love you guys so much. Mwah. Have the most blessed day ever, and go celebrate my birthday and make it your birthday. So wear my birthday today as well and celebrate your life. Go celebrate your life. Go do something special for yourself, okay? Love you guys. And I'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.